Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and getting is Yotef. We are in Yud Ches today. We're starting Yud Ches Amud Aleph in the very bottom. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmael Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is Machshir. Rabbi Shimon is Machshir what? So if you remember the Mishnah back in Yuzayin Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah discussed the scenario in which the get was written in one day and signed on the next day. Right? Signed even that night. But then that night is already the next day, the calendaric next day. So you have now basically post-dated the... Or I should say, no, not predated. Predated the star. You write it one day and then you sign it the next day. So good or no good? So the Mishnah brings down a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says it's no good, and Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. Rabbi Shimon says by other documents it's no good. Rabbi Shimon says that when you're talking about the writing of another document where it was written on one day and signed a day later, a week later, a month later. So now what you're essentially doing is you're predating a document. And as we've discussed already a couple of times, you predate a document, so you're creating a fictitious lien on a property from a time where you really had no right and entitlement to that lien. So that's and it could result in thievery. So that for sure is no good. Rabbi Shimon is in full admission that that's no good. But when it comes to a get, which a get is fundamentally not a mamonos document, so Rabbi Shimon's machshir. He says it's okay by a get. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. So Amar Rava, we're on the very bottom of Yuches Amar Aleph. Amar Rava, my tamid, Rabbi Shimon Kesavik Kemish Nasan Enav Lagarsha Shavim Al Peiros. So as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, so there's no lost potential. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion, Reish Lakish's explanation of Rabbi Shimon is that the moment that the man has decided that he's going to divorce his wife, from that point in time, he loses the rights to Peiros. So now there's nothing left to be concerned about. Meaning that as we mentioned yesterday, there are two reasons why you would date a document. One is because of the potential loss of peiros, and number two, because as Rav Yochanan's explanation is because he may want to cover up a possible case of adultery. So as we already pointed out yesterday, Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is not giving an explanation to Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rabbi Shimon would not agree with the svar of Rav Yochanan. The only svar left is peiros. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so there's no problem with peiros because peiros are no longer entitled to the husband once he decided to divorce her. Amar Shlokish lo hichshir Rabbi Shimon el alter. Now, even though Rabbi Shimon was machshir, in a scenario where the get was written one day and then signed the next day, so Reish Lakish says that that's only true if it was signed the next day. However, but if it was signed 10 days later, so then Rabbi Shimon would not be machshir. In other words, that's too predated. Okay, and that's no good. Why? What's the problem with being too predated? Chayshin and Shema Pius were worried about Pius. Rav Yochanan, I feel mekan v'adasar yamin. Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says no. Rabbi Shimon would be machshir a get even if it was predated, even if it was really predated. It doesn't matter. So we're not worried. The Isa the Pius, because if there was any type of appeasement, call it islate, so then people would hear about it. Rashi over here writes the second Rashi on the Amud. First of all, the first Rashi, right? What was Reish Lakish's concern that maybe they came to some sort of appeasement. Meaning, what happened? So it's a concern, and we're not saying this actually happened, but there's a chance that he wrote a get, and then a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and he doesn't deliver the get till 2 weeks from now. So the concern is that during the course of that week, 2 weeks, so maybe they were back together again. If they're back together again, the get is disqualified. The get's what's called the get yashan. We'll discuss more get yashan later in the Masechta, but that's no good. It's a puzzle get. So that's the reason why Reish Lakish said that within Shita Rabbi Shimon, a day later is fine, but once you're at 10 days later, that's no good. So, and Rav Yochanan says, no, I'm not worried about that. If, in fact, they got back together again, people would know about it. And let's take a look now at the second Rashi. Kala Isle Lemilsa. Sheashchenim vashchenu shomim tagar v'ktata. Shemein ish l'ishta. Because, generally speaking, the neighbors know. It's just true. I mean, yeah, it's just, whatever. It's the realities of life. Neighbors know when the couple's fighting. And neighbors know when they're not fighting. So they generally know when they're fighting. V'kasher yishkot idrivam hakol margishim. And now, he wrote the get. And then a week go by, and there's no fighting going on in the house. What's going on? So, kala isle. So, Rav Yochanan says, people know if in fact there was an appeasement, and in fact this get now has become a get yashan. Itmar. The Gemara has another discussion. So a man goes over to 10 and he says, I want you to write a get to my wife. Now, you don't need 10 people to write a get. You only need 3 people. One person to write the get and 2 people to sign the get. So 10 people is much more than what you actually need. The Gemara says that if you ask 10 people to write the get, I'm Rav Yochanan, Shai Mishum Edim, Bekulam Mishum Tanai. So 2 of them are going to represent Edim, the other 8, they're simply there as a Tanai, as a condition, meaning that a person can make any condition going into the writing of a get, into the delivery of the get. Here, his condition is that I want 8 other people to sign it. Not because they're Edim, just simply because I want 8 other people to sign it. Why would he want that? So Rashi says it's not nice, but I'm not commenting on Rashi, but the motivation. Rashi says, why would he want to do that? So Rashi writes, Rashi divra maska v'kulam lo hichtim bo ela levaisha barabim. So he wants to publicly embarrass her. So having 10 people involved in the process, even though only two of them are really serving as a witness, but the other 8 is because he wanted to embarrass her. So obviously the Gemara is not promoting this, the Gemara is not condoning this. The Gemara is just simply saying that halachically the other 8 are treated just simply as a condition that he set forth, but they are not edim. Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, no, they're all Edom, meaning that you need 2. He wanted more than 2. He wanted 10 Edom, so he designated all of them as Edom. Now, Hechidami. Now, the Gemara says, on this sheet of Reish Lakish, what exactly was instructions? Now, if he did not say the word Kulchem, so then, so if he was talking to a gathering, but he did not say the word Kulchem, so we know the halacha is, we're going to be discussing this also later in the Masechta, is that you say to a group, I want you to write a get for me, so one person writes and 2 people sign, and that's it. And you don't need everyone else's involvement. You said it in a crowd, but your instruction was not Kulchem. So, Eladam lo Kulchem. So the case over here in question must be where he said Kulchem. It has to be. So now, my Beinai, so now the Gemara says, so you said Kulchem. So let's now consider. Reish Lakish, let's start with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, you speak to a gathering of people, you say the word Kulchem, so Rav Yochanan says, here's how we're going to view it. 2 of them are going to serve as Edim, and the other 8 are there just as a condition to be fulfilled in order for the get to be valid. But I need them to sign it, because if they don't sign it, the condition is not fulfilled. So they're required. And according to Reish Lakish, it comes out to be the same. Meaning, even though he calls them all Edim, which is fine, but when all said and done, they all need to sign it. So the Gemara's question now is, my Benayhu. So really, even though conceptually the other 8 are viewed differently between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but practically speaking, who cares? According to both of them, everyone needs to sign it. So, the Gemara says, here's where it's going to play out in terms of being a nafkamina. Let's say a scenario where I have 10 people here. I say Kulchem. I want them all involved in the signing of the get. According to Rav Yochanan, 2 of them are witnesses. The other 8 are just simply to fulfill the condition. According to Reish Lakish, they're all Edim. And now the Gemara says, here's where it's going to play out practically. Let's say 2 were to sign today. And then the other 8 sign tomorrow. Okay, now, Mandar Mishum Tanai Kasher. So according to Rav Yochanan, it's fine. Because the other 8 who are signing are not signing as Edim, they're signing just simply to to fulfill the condition. The Edim have signed the document, and they've signed the document on the day it was written. You're good. The other 8 are just simply to satisfy tonight. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, Amandam and Mishum Edim, apostle. But if you, however, you view the other 8 as Edim, all the Edim have to be signing on the day that the get was written. So the Gemara says that would be a nafkamina. Inami, the Gemara says, or kigon shenim echad mehem karov apostle. The Gemara says, I'll give you another nafkamina. Now let's say that of the remaining 8, 1 or 2 or however many of the remaining 8 are related, or the psulim. So now, what the Gemara says, very simple. simple nafka, meaning laman, damer mishum tanai kosher. If the only reason why the other eight are signing is just simply to fulfill a tanai, so then you're fine. Even though the karovim are psulim, they're not signing as eidim, they're just simply signing as a condition that the husband set forth in order for the get to be activated. Laman, damer mishum eidim pasul. But if it's because of eidus, so then it would be a pasul. So, ichas mitzchila karov a pasul, armila kosher, armila pasul. Now, the Gemara says, let's imagine that, let's say like Rav Yochanan, let's say that having any one of the remaining eight be a karav or apostle would be fine, but the Gemara now wants to know, what if I have the karav or apostle signing in the one or two slot? Good or no good? So Amalei Kasha, Amalei Apostle. So the Gemara says here, you can go in one of two directions. Amalei Kasha Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, on one hand, you could say that's Kasha because it's a Tanai. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, that everyone is signing because of Edim, obviously it's no good. But according to Rav Yochanan, we could argue that it's fine. Because again, what's the story for Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan says two of them have to be Edim, and the rest are there to satisfy Tanai. And even if the first or second signature is done by somebody who's Pasul, so we'll just simply say, oh, that guy, he's just coming in for the purpose of Tanai. The real Edim are coming later on. Now, generally speaking, in a contract, that's not normally how it works. In a contract, in a shtar, usually slot 1 and 2 is set aside for the kosher eidim, but here we'll say, okay, not in this case. On the other hand, the Gemara says, here you can argue, and you can say that this wouldn't be good, because even though later on in the signatures, we'll have two people who are kosher, but in the one and two slot, one or two slot, I have somebody signing who's a karav or apostle, so then a person's going to look at this document and say to himself, hey, he's related, and he signed. Oh, must be relatives are okay. Or people will say, hey, he's pasul, and he signed. Oh, okay. I guess someone can sign. So, asir l'achlufa b'shtaros, so a person will confuse this with other shtaros. And therefore, the Gemara says it's no good. It's mid the rabban, and it would be disqualified. Okay, ahu the amar luhula asar kiss forget leishti. We finish up this discussion with a story. So, a person asked 10 people, instructed 10 people to write a get for his wife. Amalu lasar kisru get lishti chasum betray minayo biyume v'inach mikan v'asar yamim. So now what happened is that basically what we've been discussing. But lemaisa it happened. Where two signed on that day, the day that it was written, and the other eight signed at a later point in time. Also, coming to Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Now they go in front of Rav Yishuv ben Levi and Amar La. Now here's his psak. Top of your testament aleph. Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon l'smoch alav b'shas hadachak. So his psak is, it's okay. Because, remember, in terms of predating a get, so it's a machlokis in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And the Tanakhama says it's no good, but Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. Now he is a das yachid, but we're talking about now a woman and her ability to remarry, and her not being an aguna. And so, kedai hu Rabbi Shimon. So, yeah, it's a Rabbi Shimon's a das yachid, but in this particular case, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Shimon because it is a shas tchak. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Why do we even need Rabbi Shimon as part of the discussion over here? Remember, there were 10 people. He said, I want you to write a get for my wife and sign it. And he said to the 10 of them. Now, remember, there were two ways to view how to look at these 10 people. Either they're all Edim, or two of them are Edom and the rest of them are just simply to satisfy the Tanai. Well, if we looked at it, and the Gemara already made this point, if we look at it as the latter, not the former, you can have the 8 people signing at any point in time, it doesn't matter. They're not signing as Edom, they're just simply signing as Kiyum HaTanai, just to satisfy the condition. So the Gemara says, so you don't even need Rabbi Shimon over here, right? So the Gemara says, that's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I preempted. And my point is valid, I said it too early. The Gemara starts off with another point, and that was, is that even within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, okay, let's do this again. I'll get back to my previous point because the Gemara will. I did it out of order. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, we had a machlokus when presenting the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in terms of whether when Rabbi Shimon says it's okay, is it okay a day later? Is it okay even 10 days later? So that was a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's question here. V'ham Reish Lakish, second line down on your testament, V'ham Reish Lakish, lo hikshu Rabbi Shimon ala la'atar, v'amikan v'asar yamim lo. So even Rabbi Shimon would not allow a get to be signed 10 days later. That's too much for Rabbi Shimon. That was the opinion of Reish Lakish. And again, why? So to remind ourselves, the reason is because we're worried about Pius. We're worried that 10 days later, maybe they came to like a temporary lull in the fighting, and they got back together again, rendering the get puzzle, because now they get to get Yashan. So the Gemara says, aren't you worried about that? So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says, we're not worried about that. Be'ahi k'Rabbi Yochanan Svirlei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, we're looking at the Pesach of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi doesn't subscribe to Reish Lakish's viewpoint. He subscribes to Rabbi Yochanan's viewpoint, which is that according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't matter whether the Edom signed a day later or 10 days later. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that wasn't in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's concern. So the Gemara, now we could say it. Now, v'hamar Rabbi Yochanan shnai mishum edim v'kula mishum tanai. Oh, so we're going like Rabbi Yochanan. Really? So Rav Yochanan says that when I ask a group of 10 people to sign, so don't we say that two of them are viewed as Edom, and the rest of them are they're just there as satisfying the condition? And if that's true, then, now we can say it, then we don't even need Rabbi Shimon, because now the other eight that are signing are not Edom, they're signing as just simply Kiyum Atanai. They could sign a day later, a week later, a month later, doesn't matter. They're just a condition that needs to be fulfilled in order for the get to be activated. But they're not Edom. This is not a predated document. So the Gemara says, no. No, on that issue, it's a separate issue. On that issue, Rav Yeshua ben Levi follows like Reish Lakish, not like Rav Yochanan. The 10 are viewed as Edom, not as 2 Edom and 8 for the purposes of Kiyum Tanai, but rather all 10 of them are serving as Edom. That's why Rav Yeshua ben Levi needs to come on to the position of Rabbi Shimon that it's a predated document because the remaining 8 are Edom, but Kedaihu Rabbi Shimon, let's mach alav b'shas atchak. Okay, but it is a shas atchak, and therefore we need Rabbi Shimon.
Is the 10 days hard line?
No. It's just simply it's a number that we're, for 10 days we're worried that maybe there was pious. Could be more than 10 days.
Why isn't it predated? If the get is only valid after the condition is fulfilled, so why is not it predated?
Because the get now is valid, meaning the get is enforced.
If you gave it without the 10 signature,
no,
valid.
It wouldn't be good. No, correct. But it's like any tonight, meaning it happens to be the Tanai here is that I need 8 other people to sign the document. The Tanai could also be, I mean, we'll talk Tanai later in the Masechta. Tanai could be you'll give me $200. In other words, the Tanai could be anything.
Why does it not make it a predated?
Because
the get is not valid. Tanai's fulfilled.
But the get's only not valid, not because there's something intrinsically wrong with the get. There's just an... I know it's hard to say, but I'll say it. It's an outside condition that needs to be fulfilled. It could have been she give him $200, or in this case, it could be 8 other people are going to sign this piece of paper. But the piece of paper, once the first 2 people sign it, it is a get. It's just that but they're not divorced because the condition hasn't been fulfilled. But the get itself is fine. Okay. We start the next Mishnah. We're on Yutesamad Aleph. We are now moving on to the topic of what you're writing with and what you're writing on. Right? You're writing get, and so you're going to be writing on something, as we'll learn in just a moment. It could be almost anything. Doesn't have to be a cloth. You write on something, and in terms of the ink, so it has to be permanent ink and can't be temporary ink. The Mishnah will go into detail regarding different various types of inks. This is where I'm at a total loss. To me, it's ink. It's not ink. We'll talk today about lead and writing with almost if you will like a lead pencil. So that part I get, but there's going to be a number of different types of inks, which the Mishnah here and the Mishnah has this a number of places. I know how to say the Mishnah. I just don't know what I'm saying. So you'll understand. Bechol kosvim, you can write with any type of ink. Now, we can insert in the parentheses any type of permanent ink, and it's got to be permanent. But you could write with any type of ink, b'diyahu, b'sam, b'sikra, uvekomos, uvekankantam. Okay, you can write with all these different types of inks. The Gemara is going to explain all of them, but again, to you and me, that's not going to be so helpful. If you know Aramaic and you know these types of inks, that's great. And then the Mishnah says, basically, as long as it's permanent ink, it's fine. And you know how the Mishnah operates. When the Mishnah gives us a clout like that, obviously it's making it a reference, an allusion to including something else. The Gemara is going to discuss that. However, if it is a temporary ink, so like a liquid, writing with a liquid, writing with fruit juice, or anything that is not kiyum, that doesn't last, so that's no good. Okay, so that talks now, that was a part of the Mishnah that described the inks. Now we talk about what you can write the get on. Al hakol kosfim. You can write basically on anything, and that would represent a good get. Al ha'alei shel zayin, azayis. Take the leaf of an olive tree, and you can write the get on that. Al ha'keren shel para. You could write the get on the horn of a cow. V'nosein lo sapara. However, important to note, and we'll discuss more of this later in the Masechta, you got to give her the cow. You can't detach the horn and give her the horn, because then there's going to be something in between the writing and the nesina, right? And we're going to see this time and again, v'kasa v'nosan, that you got to write and you got to give, and there could be nothing separating the two. And a detachment of the horn would be considered a separation. So here, if you're going to write the get on the horn of a cow, you got to give her the whole cow. Al yad shel eved, so you can write the get on the hand of your eved kanani, v'nosin las eved. But, okay. I mean, whatever. No detachment of the hand from the oven. You got to handle the entire oven.
Is it permanent?
Huh? I assume it's like a tattoo.
Is it permanent? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I assume it's like a tattoo. I don't.
Like a tattoo.
Yeah. Okay.
It has to be
buying
something.
It's okay. Look, I know. Now, Rav Yosef Glili says you can't write on something which is alive, and you can't write on something which is edible. Okay, and the reasons behind Rav Yosef will be explained later in the Gemara. Now, here we go. The Gemara now is just going to spend a couple of lines, telling us what all these various types of inks are. So, for those of you who speak Aramaic, so you'll really enjoy this. For the rest of us, just, okay, enjoy. Dio Diusa, so Dio is a reference to Diusa. Now, Rashi, by the way, Rashi spends the time trying to help us understand what these are. So, Dio Diusa, Sama Sama, Sikra. Now, in terms of Sikra, so the one thing that we need to know going forward in the Gemara is that Sikra is a red ink. That's critical, and you'll see that's important for us to know. So, Amar Rabba Barbachana Sikarta. Okay, so it's a sikarta. Good. Sikarta shma. Kumus is kuma. And kankantam amarabha barbarchana shmuel charas. Barbarchana amar shmuel charas adushpachi. Rashi says that it's referring to the shoe polish of a shoesmith. Okay. So those are the various types of inks which are good. They're all permanent and they're all good. Again, the thing that we need to know is that Sikra is a red ink. That's important. We'll need that later on this morning. Ovechol davashu miskayim, in anything which lasts. So lasui imazva, the Gemara says, and that's inclusive of what? Lasui adani Rabbi Chanina. Kitzva b'meitarya. The afatza kasha. If I write with my meitarya and afatza. Meitarya is a collected rainwater. Now, Rashi says, that's one pshat. Megeshamim. So Rashi also offers another pshat. It's some sort of juice, fruit juice, walnut juice. Okay. So if I write with these, it's kosher. Apparently, okay, I don't fully understand this, but apparently these are permanent types of liquids when they are applied to paper. Okay, that's obvious. The Gemara is explaining the Mishnah when the Mishnah says that it is in fact a permanent ink. Tani Rabbi Chia Kasva be'Aver b'Shchor v'Shichur Kasher. So if I write with Aver, if I write with lead, okay, in other words,
this idea of writing with lead is not a new phenomena. They've been writing with lead for years. So if you write with lead, so Rabbi Chiya teaches us in the Braisa that that's kosher, or shachor or shichor, various types of black ink. Itmar hamavir dio agabi sikra b'shabbos. Okay. And here we go. Now, what we're going to do is a very interesting Gemara coming up, is that we're going to make a comparison between Ksiva as it relates to Gittin and Ksiva as it relates to Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos, one of the 39 Malachas is Kosev. Writing two letters on Shabbos is Chilul Shabbos, and you have to write it in a permanent manner. Okay, if you write it in not in a permanent manner, it's not Shokayama, so then it's not, that's not a Malacha. Malacha has to be done with something which is permanent. So we're going to compare the two, and it goes like this. If I take a blank ink and I trace it over red letters on Shabbos. So in other words, what I'm starting with is letters that are written with a red ink, with Sikra. And then on Shabbos, I take black ink and I trace over the red letters. And I do so on Shabbos. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish to Amri Tarvayu, Chayev Shtayim. So according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, so you just violated not one but two malachas. Achas mishum kosev, achas mishum mochek. Now you wrote, and you erased. So you erased because what was once red ink, you don't see the red ink anymore. So it's not erasure in the classic sense where I took the ink and I, you know, took out my eraser and I erased it. But erasing also could mean that I no longer see it. It's no longer there. So since I wrote black on top of red, and since the black totally blackens the red, so therefore I wrote and I also erased at the same time. And so therefore you're going to be chayv two karbanos. So, dio agabe dio. Sikra agabe sikra. Now what if on Shabbos I trace over black ink on top of already existing black ink? Or if I trace over red ink on top of existing red ink? So pater. So Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both say that in such a scenario, you would be pater. Pater means don't do this, but if you do it on Shabbos, you're not in violation of a malacha. This is not ksiva because you haven't added anything, black on top of black. It's not mechika because I didn't block out that which was underneath. That which was underneath is black. It still looks black. Or it was red and it still looks red, so it's not mochik. So it's not kosev, it's not mochik. It's pater of al-asr. Sikra agabe dio. And now what if it's red on top of black? So amile chava, amile pater. So the Gemara here says, it's machlokas. It's two different versions. Amile chayav mochiku. So on one hand, so it is considered a mechika because I no longer can see the black. I only see the red which is on top. And so therefore it's mechika. Amile pater mikalkohu. Now on the other hand, you could also argue that it's not because it is... it's considered something which is damaging. So mekalkohu Rashi v'havale kemochek amanasha lo lichtov. Now it's almost like you're erasing, but not with the purposes of rewriting. And apparently the red is something that you would not write on top of or not write over, and so therefore it's mekalkel, and once again mekalkel means that it's not a chil Shabbos, it's not a violation of a malacha. You wouldn't be bringing a carbon chatas if you did this b'shogeg, but once again pater of al aser, you'll be pater from a carbon, but it's still aser to do such a thing. Okay, before we continue with the Gemara, so what did we just learn together? That tracing on top of another letter is not considered a ksiva, and therefore would not be good. Tema. Let's take a look at the second to last Tosfos on the Amud, where he asks the following question, So writing one letter on top of another letter, so as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's not a violation of Shabbos. It's aser midrabbanan to do so, but it's not a violation of Shabbos. V'huad din linyan get, and the Gemara says, now, if it's not good for Shabbos, it's also not good for Gittin as well. D'midame b'samach l'Shabbos, because the Gemara is going to make an equation. If it's writing l'gabi Shabbos, it's writing l'gabi get. If it's not writing l'gabi Shabbos, it's not writing l'gabi get. The Gemara is going to make that comparison. U'mashma d'leka mandapalik, and it sounds like this is unequivocal. No one's arguing over this point. So the Gemara Satosis over here is going to ask an outstanding question from today's daf
till tomorrow's daf. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to be learning the following. Let's say you have a get that was written shelo lishma. We discussed this day one of the Masechta. Writing a get shelo lishma, meaning you did not have this person in mind and that person in mind, the man and the husband and the wife in mind. You just simply wrote a standardized get with a common name, and it happens to be that the husband and wife have that name and they're coming in and they want to purchase this piece of paper so he can issue her the get. It does not work. It's not a get lishma. And lishma is an absolute requirement as it relates to get. And so, therefore, at this point in juncture, the get is pasul. The tomorrow's daf, what we're going to learn together is, here's what you can do. You can trace it over lishma, and it works.
Because it's
right. 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 So, it's a machlokus in tomorrow's daf, whether or not it works. So, according to Rav Yehuda, that's considered a ksiva. So now, Tosa says, today's daf versus tomorrow's daf. On today's daf, we learned that ksav l'gabi ksav l'gabi Shabbos is no good. Meaning, it's not ksav. And on today's daf, it seems like nobody even argues that point. On tomorrow's daf, we're going to be learning together that ksav l'gabi ksav, to render a get from a shelo lishma to a lishma, at least according to Rav Yehuda, would be fine. And we're going to learn tomorrow's daf that according to an Amora, Rav Acha, even according to the Chachamim, it would be good as it relates to a get. So, how can today's daf say that ksav agave ksav is no good? It's not considered ksiva? And how can tomorrow's daf have at least one Tana, and according to one Amora, two Tanayim who say that by get this would be good, at least enough to make the get from a shelo lishma to a lishma. Va'omer Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Okay, va'omer Rabbeinu Yitzchak. So he's going to give an answer. Said delakaman va'adai shiksav arishan haya shelo lishma v'ksav ashini asau lishma chashiv ksav l'Rav Yehuda l'Rav Acha fil Rabbanan chashiv ksav gabe get. So, you'll have to say, and Tosfos says it, is that when you're talking about something that was shelo lishma, and then you trace over lishma, so because you're adding a dimension of lishma, so vis-a-vis a get, it is now considered a ksiva. Avahacha shekasav sheni eino mesakin klom. But over here on Shabbos, meaning we're not talking about a get, we're just talking about the definition of writing as it relates to Shabbos. On Shabbos, when you're adding another layer of writing on top of an already existing layer of writing, so that second writing is not adding any element whatsoever. So therefore, it's not going to be considered a ksav. Afilu Rav Yehuda Moda, delo chashiv ksav. That's Tosus' explanation of the difference. So when that second layer, that tracing over, adds the dimension, so then it's considered a ksav. If it does not add a dimension, it's not considered a ksav. That's how Tosos is miyashev the two.
It has to be exactly within the same parameter as the previous written ink.
If it goes over.
right. Presumably you're right. It's what you're saying is reasonable. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. We are on Yitesamad Aleph. We are towards the bottom, a little bit more than halfway down. So, okay. By me, Reish Lakshmi Rav Yochanan, Edim Shein Yodim Lachtam Mahu, Sheikhtu Velem Besikra, Viachtam Ksav Elyon, I'm sorry, Viachtamo. Okay. Good part of the remainder of today's daf is going to deal with illiterate Edim. Generally speaking, it is a strange discussion talking about illiterate Edim, meaning it's almost like a unicorn where you're looking for an aid which is kosher, meaning Yishomer Shabbos, Yishomer Mitzvos, he just doesn't know how to write. Generally, they don't go hand in hand. Generally speaking, to be a Shomer Torah and Shomer Mitzvos, you have to. You don't have to learn up a daf of Gemara, but you got to be able to read a little bit. Okay, anyway, but let's imagine that they're out there. So you have an illiterate aide who he doesn't know how to write, but he's kosher. So what can you do in order to facilitate him signing the document? Okay, so how about this? How about basically tracing their name with red ink? And then giving them a black pen and signing on top of it. So ksav elyon ksav o eino ksav. So question: there, when they write on top with black ink over the red ink, so is that considered ksav or not? Amrle eino ksav. So the answer is no good. It's not ksav. Amrle val loli maratein rabbi ksav elyon ksav lingin shabbos. So he says, I don't understand. Just a moment ago, when we were discussing the same exact point as it related to Shabbos, you call that a ksav. You said on Shabbos, that's considered a chilul Shabbos. Red ink on the bottom, and you trace over with blank ink, and you said the person violated Shabbos. So that means that it's ksav. And now you're telling me that as it relates to a get, you have the illiterate Adam coming along, and you're writing red ink, and you're having trace over with black. Let's be consistent. It should be good. So Amar Lay, great response. V'chim im neshanu medamim nasa maisa. So just because we have a thought, so just because we offered a svar in the base medrash, now you think, okay, let's go forward and let's turn this into practical halacha. Rashi, v'chim im neshanu medamim, shanu omdim v'svurim, v'omdim me'umad libenu la'achmer. I'm not saying definitively that black ink on top of red ink is writing. I simply thought it. I think it's writing, but I'm not saying it's actually writing. And next Rashi, Nasa Maisa Lahakel Afilu LeInyan Shabbos Imba Maisa LeAdinim Bezman Beis Hamikdash Lo Ayisi Somech Al Devarai LaVichulin LaZara. Let's say a person did it Bezman Beis Hamikdash, obviously B'Shogeg. Right, let's assume that the person was just simply inadvertent. So on Shabbos, he traced over red ink with black ink. Do you really think that I would now tell him if there was a Beis HaMikdash, yeah, go ahead, bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. If you violated Shabbos, that's great. Yeah, bring the carbon. You have to bring the carbon. But if you didn't violate Shabbos, so then what are you doing? You're bringing an animal that's not a chatas to the Beis HaMikdash. It's chulin b'azara. Like, I wouldn't tell the guy to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash if he did such a thing. All I'm saying is, I think it's writing, but like, don't go crazy with what I'm saying. I just think it's writing. And now, if a person did that in order to be machshir a get, do you really think that I'm going to call that a get? No. In other words, the red ink on the bottom and the illiterate Adam are tracing on top of it with black ink. It may be a get, but I'm not saying it is. And let's not take a svara that I offered and actually turn it into practical halacha.
It's not kosher because it's not ksav.
You need ksav.
What difference does it make whether he's illiterate or not?
I'm calling him illiterate just simply because he doesn't know how to read and he doesn't know how to write. Later we'll talk, the Gemara and the Amud Beis is going to talk about somebody who knows how to write but doesn't know how, at least he knows how to sign his name even though he doesn't know how to read. Well, that'll come up later in the Gemara. Okay. If I have witnesses who don't know how to sign, Rava makrim lem niyar chalak umemalem is a crime deal. So Rav says solution will go like this: basically, etch out on the paper their signature, and then so now all I have to do is just not literally but connect the dots, or just follow the etching with a piece with a pen, and that's how they'll sign their name. Shmuel Amar Be'Aver. Now Shmuel says, well, no, what you'll do is you'll basically write over with pencil. It's basically what the Gemara is saying right now. You'll trace over their name with pencil, and they'll take a black ink, and they'll go over the pencil with the black ink. Now Be'Aver Sagadach, and the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. In the beginning of today's daf, at the top of the Amud, we said that Aver was considered an ink, or right, an acceptable writing material. So Be'Aver Sagadach, Vatini, Rebbe Chia, Kasra, Be'Aver, B'Shachar, V'Shichor, Kasher. So all you need to do is just remember what we talked about earlier this morning, and you remember that it was an pencil, or I should say lead, is an acceptable writing implement. Lo Kasha, Abba Avra, Abba Meida Avra. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. And to us, I think it would be hard to hear, but not so much. The following distinction. If you're using the lead itself, and you're just basically rubbing the... I'm sorry, yeah. If you're rubbing the lead against the paper, what you and I would call a pencil. So the Gemara says that's not considered ksiva. That's not considered writing. And perhaps, because as we know, you can easily erase the lead. If it's, however, more like a lead-based paint, right? The Gemara describes it as lead soaked in water. right? What we would call like a lead-based pain, which I know it's, you know, it's not healthy. That little I know. But if it's something like that, that's considered permanent and that is acceptable. So what we're saying is that for our illiterate Adim, so you basically go over with pencil, meaning rubbing the lead directly on the paper, what we, you and I would call a pencil, that's fine. That's fine because it's not considered a permanent marking on the paper. And so them going over with the black ink would be fine. Masha Einkein, what we said earlier was a lead-based paint. Something more like that. Rabbi Abba Amar B'mei Milin. Sorry, Lokasha Abba Avraha B'mei Avraha. Rabbi Abba Amar B'mei Milin. Rabbi Abba says that you can go over it with Meimilin. Rashi explains this to be water that was soaked in Golna. So, V'atani Rabbi Chanina Kisva B'meitiria V'afatza Kasher. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. Again, it's basically the same issue. Water soaked with gallnut, we're saying, is not good, and that's how you could trace out their name and have the illiterate Adam sign over it. On the other hand, we learned earlier this morning that water soaked with gallnut is considered an acceptable permanent marking on the paper. So once again, it's where it's inconsistent. Lokasha had the afitz had the lo afitz. Shei meimila magabe meimila. So the Gemara says here the difference is going to be whether or not the paper was treated or not treated. Back then, before they used paper, they often treated the paper with gallnut. They would use some sort of gallnut solution to treat the paper. And if the paper is pre-treated with gallnut and you write gallnut on top of it, so Rashi describes how there you won't be able to see it. And so therefore it's not acceptable. And that would be good in the case of the illiterate Adim. Because if it was paper treated with gallnut, and I had now the illiterate Adim come, and I first marked off their name with gallnut ink, so the Gemara says that's good. Because the gallnut ink is unacceptable on the gallnut paper, on the gallnut treated paper, and therefore their black ink writing on top of it would be good. Masha Ein Kein, if the paper was not pre-treated, and now I'm writing the gallnut ink on non-treated paper, so then the Gemara says that's permanent marking, and then I can't do that for the illiterate Adim. Rav Papa Amar Barok. Rav Papa says that the best thing to do is to etch out their name with spit. It's not permanent, it's, you know, and it gives them something to trace over their name. V'chein orile Rav Papa la Papa Tura Barok. And Rav Papa, when he issued a ruling for Papa Tura, Papa Tura, Rashi explains that he was a cattle herder. And so when it came time for him to sign on a get, so Rav Papa said, okay, let's just take a little, he doesn't know how to write, so it's not a problem, just take some spit with a pen, you know, and trace his name out with the spit, and then have him write on top of it. Hani Mili Begin, Aval Bishtaro Slom. So the Gemara says now, basically what we're doing is allowing a perfectly illiterate person to sign on a document. The Gemara says that we'll be okay for this in the world of Adam. I'm sorry, in the world of Gittin, but not for any other star. And Rashi explains, and the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is going to say this in just a moment, because by Gittin, again, there's that consideration that we don't want her to be an aguna. In other words, the marriage is coming to an end, we want the get to be a valid get. And even though generally we don't love having illiterate Adam signing on the document, but to prevent her from being an aguna, so that for that we'll do it. Now, once there was a person who allowed illiterate witnesses to sign on a non-get document, meaning just a regular financial document, but not the Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana heard about this, and Rav Kahana, who was not one to generally pull his punches, so he gave lashes to the person who did so. Meaning, it's not right that you're having illiterate witnesses signing on other documents. Tanya Kavase Derav, and the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that supports this position. We're on the very top of your testament base. The Edim Shein Yodim Lachtom. If you have witnesses who don't know how to sign their own name, Makrim Lanir Chalakum Emalim as a crime dio. So what you're going to do is you're going to etch out their name with some sort of mark, some sort of
like small blade, and they'll fill it in. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that's true, but only when it comes to a get for women. If they know how to read and sign, so great. And if they don't know how to read and sign, so then no. So Kriya Mandakashme. Now, just as the Gemara interjects here very quickly, who said anything about reading? We were talking about signing the name. The Gemara says, okay, the Brisa is just missing a little part, and we're going to now redo this Brisa again, filling in the missing gap. If witnesses don't know how to read, so they're illiterate. And here the Brisa calls them illiterate. So Karnlif Naam, so the first thing you have to know is, what am I signing? Well, how do they know what they're signing? So you read to them the shtar, then they sign it. Now, if they don't know how to sign, meaning the Gemara can easily envision where they don't know how to read, but they know how to write, or at least sign their name. So that's what the Brisa means. If they don't know how to read, so then you're going to read the document in front of them. Now, if on top of that they also don't even know how to sign their name, So then you etch out their name and they sign over it. And then along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and he says, look, I'll limit all this only to Gitei Nashim. But for anything else, no. And here's where the Gemara says outright, straightforward, that the reason why we don't want this is because we don't want the women to be agunas, and that is why we will allow illiterate, not only illiterate, more than illiterate and can't even sign their own name, such an aid to sign on a get for a woman. The Gemara says that this is in fact the halacha. You don't, if in order to sign on a get, you don't have to be literate, and you don't even know need to know how to sign your own name. Somebody will just etch out your name for you, and you'll sign. The Gemara says, they quoted in the name of Rava, that the halacha does not fall like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says, now, what does that mean? So if you're not holding Rav Shimon Gamliel, what's the other option? You're holding like the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, now, as we learned earlier, somebody allowed for an illiterate aid to sign on a non-get document, meaning a regular shtar, and Rav Kahana gave Malkus, which gives us indication that this allowance is only for Gitei Nashim and not for anything else. So Tirgama Akriya. So the Gemara says, no, that was only going on the Kriya, meaning that when the Rav Kahana gave the person lashes, it was over the fact that he didn't even know how to sign his, he didn't know how to read. So for that, Rav Kahana gave him lashes. But if he knew how to read, he just didn't know how to sign his name. So the Gemara says that would work for other stars as well. Rav Yehuda Mitzar Kari Vechasim. So the Gemara tells the story of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda in his old age, so he had a really difficult time reading. Right, his eyes were failing him, but when it came time for him to sign on a document, so he would squint and he would really strain himself in order to read. He wanted to read the document firsthand himself. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have many instances, or at least a couple, where we know that for people to sign on a document, they don't have to read the document themselves. As long as the document is read in front of them, so then it would be fine. But the Gemara says, but even under these circumstances, v'davka Rav Sach and Rav Nachman v'safra Dayana d'isluei masa, av Rav Nachman safra achrina safra Dayana v'inshe achrina lo. But the Gemara says, but if you're going to have somebody read the document to you, there has to be a level of confidence and trust that the person who's reading and the people who are listening are trustworthy people, because easily one can envision that, right, the shtar says one thing, the guy reading it is going to say something else, add something, omit something, and the person signing is not going to realize that, and the person signing is going to sign on what he does not understand to be either all the details or too many of the details. So the Gemara says is that the only way this method of having someone read the shtar to you is going to work is only if there's a level of trust and fear that the person that's reading is going to be reading everything, not adding, not omitting. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Today we finished of Zman Beget, the topic of Zman Beget. Started on Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, and continued all the way to the top of Yud Tes, Amud Aleph. The question of the predating of the document. Rabbi Shimon was the Shita that allowed it. Question of how much of a gap did he allow? Question of whether or not we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Those are the issues that we dealt with today. Then the rest of today's daf on your test dealt with the topic of what you write with and on what item, on what object you can write with. So we spoke mostly today about ink. Very interesting discussion today comparing ksiva as it relates to get and ksiva as it relates to Shabbos. Right, an interesting tosfos which compared today's daf to tomorrow's daf. And a yishuv in terms of how to resolve the two. And then a question of how do I allow illiterate witnesses signing on a document. By Gitei Nashim they were Mekel because of Aguna. And what about having somebody read the document to you if you can't read? So the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda strained himself to read. Others allowed the reading of a shtar, but only if there was Ema and Yira in that relationship.